Hey everyone, this is Chris Keithor from Your Guitar. We're hanging out at Marathon Music Works in Nashville, Tennessee, hanging out with Tim from Clutch. Tim, how you doing?
Doing great. Last night of the tour.
Yeah, I know, that's what Tevin said. You're probably good. Looking forward to getting through the show. And so one last obstacle is to hang out and talk gear with us. So thank you.
It's not an obstacle at all.
Well, thank you very much.
It's the easiest thing ever.
Killer. So you've been a long time Gibson guy. I've seen you play Les Pauls. I've seen you play SGs. I know we've talked during the Earthrocker sessions that you had a Les Paul Jr. with P90. So what are you rocking now? What's kind of your main guitar that you're using on tour right now?
Well, yeah, like you said, it's kind of constantly changing with me. You know, one of the things I've finally figured out in life is that it's fun to play different guitars.
Yeah.
It's fun to play different gear. So I'm always constantly switching stuff up. And
is it more of a thing because you like to try new things, or is it because what you played or heard so far isn't what you hear in your head? Like you're chasing something unattainable.
Yeah, I mean, there is a little bit of that, I think. But, you know, for the past maybe 6 months to a year or so, I've really been, you know, trying to think about what I want to play on the next album and what direction I want the guitar sound to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
what direction is that going?
Now that we're getting ready to go into the studio, I've ended up with these SGs here.
Okay.
And
what's one that you particularly play maybe more of, or is it just more like a tuning thing, or is one a backup to the other, the two that we're looking at?
You know, actually I have three SGs on this tour. I kind of go back and forth between playing those three SGs.
Okay.
And also, I bought a newer Gibson Custom Shop Les Paul Special, which I also have over here that I didn't bring over here, which I've been playing a lot on this tour. But I think I've, aside from spinning all over the place, I think I've pretty much settled into the fact that I want to use SGs for my main guitars on the next album.
And why is that?
Because they're more fun to play.
Fair enough answer. Tonally, what do they do for you that maybe a Les Paul with humbuckers, because I see both these have P90s, so what kind of growl or tone are you chasing in your head for the next album and currently enjoying on stage?
You know, I'm kind of going for a little bit more of a let's say, how about free on steroids?
Oh, okay.
Is that possible? I mean, obviously that might not be attainable.
But still, however, fun to try.
However, you know, for me personally, that's kind of the stuff I gravitate towards, like 70s guitar sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, guys that really just did it for the tone. Yeah. Instead of the shred.
Yeah.
Know? So, yeah, the whole thing is a constantly changing thing, and I'm probably going to change my mind within a half hour.
After you get done, after
yes.
you're done filming, you're
yeah.
like, shit, I should have said this.
Yeah.
This is what I was wanting, actually. So what do you like about P90s currently?
They just sound a little bit more raw and heavy, I guess.
Okay.
The other SG I have over here does not have P90s in it. It's got regular humbuckers. And if the club is just too noisy, sometimes I have to play that
yeah.
guitar. But usually it's all right. I mean, I've kind of gone back and forth. Like you said, I played a junior with P90s on Earthrocker.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of stopped playing that guitar. And then I realized that, yeah, when I play Les Pauls, I love the tone, but my hands really don't fit around the neck of my favorite sounding Les Pauls.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of go back and forth between, you know, going into the studio is totally different than playing a live show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot easier for me to play a Les Paul in the studio than it is on stage, you know.
It's a lot easier for your back too, unless these are abnormally heavy SGs, which normally isn't the case, but.
Yeah, I don't know. Just for me, my gear is always a constantly changing entity.
So when we film this again in a couple of years, we'll have a completely different setup, probably.
If you guys come to the studio when we record, it will be basically every amp I own set up.
Damn. What about these two SGs? Are these older ones? I see that they're kind of beat up, or at least the white one is over here, the cream one. Is that like an older or vintage one, or is these just...
Yeah, these are both 1965.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Damn. How did you acquire these guitars? Is it...
I found them both at a music store called Action Music that I go to in Falls Church, Virginia.
Is that kind of like your home base in terms of like gear searches?
It is, actually. It's a super great vintage store, which really don't exist that much anymore. Mm-hmm. And the owner's super cool and basically will deal with me wanting to trade in everything that I own at some point, you know?
Yeah. And I've seen on during the summer, whenever that European tour took place, I saw that you were using some PRSs. Are those still in your quiver or rotation here in the current tour, or was that more of a kind of a, I guess, a phase?
No, well, I don't have my PRSs on tour with me right now. I have an absolutely amazing Paul Reed Smith that they built for me that I have in Europe with our stuff. Mm. We have a storage space over there to just make it easier as far as shipping gear. We just leave it over there. So I have an absolutely amazing Paul Reed Smith. I'll be honest with you. I have two Paul Reed Smiths, and those are the best made guitars I've ever laid my hands on. So there's that.
And they're not far from where you guys kind of, you know, originated.
Yep, they're based out of Maryland.
Yeah, so that's cool. Supporting the hometown folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a super cool company, super cool people. And I'm sure my PRSs will make it to the next album in some way or another.
Cool. And is there anything that you've done to these two older models to keep them running or updated? Are they the original pickups and hardware?
This one does not have the original hardware. Does this? No. There's not the original hardware on these. I upgraded them to Tone Pro's adjustable wraparound tailpieces.
Just for functionality.
Yeah. I mean, this thing was a complete disaster with its original bridge and its original tuners, as was this. So yeah, to be able to play it live, I have to, you know, tweak it a little bit.
But the original pickups are still there, kind of have that mojo.
Correct, those are the original pickups for both of them.
And what gauge strings or brand do you typically play on your SGs here?
Usually NYXLs.
Okay, D'Addario's?
Yep, and I believe these are 11s on here.
Is that typically where you, normally where you're at, or is that kind of a gone up or gone down?
Yeah, you know, usually it's 10s or 11s. With Les Pauls, I think I feel more comfortable with 10s. But, you know, having the 11s on really helps with tuning, actually, during the show. The guitars that I own seem to stay in tune a little bit better when I play 11s.
I wonder if that's just from your maybe aggressive bending or anything like that, that maybe pulls the 10s out, or the 11s
maybe
stay a little tighter, I guess, maybe.
But right. Yeah, I'm pretty happy with the way these two have been working out, for sure.
Cool. Well, got the 2-amp set up here right in front of us. What do you got running here? I've always seen you with an Orange of some sort, but normally I've either seen you with a Marshall countering that or a Fender. So talk to me about, let's start with the Park, since that's a new edition.
I mean, this is basically taking the place of where a Marshall would normally be. This is a newer Park head.
Which is, if I'm not mistaken, is a derivative of a Jim Marshall started company back in the 60s or 70s. So it's probably got a Marshall flair or sound to it?
It definitely is. It's supposed to kind of sound like a JTM 45, I believe.
Okay.
But from what I know, Marshall, I don't know if this is true, but Marshall accidentally forgot to re-register the trademark of Park. They somehow just let it slip through the cracks and lost it.
Huh.
And some guy from New York bought it. So there's a guy in New York that's making new Park heads that are absolutely phenomenal. You know, I guess for a while, Park was like Marshall's Epiphone, you know? It was like the super cheap version of a Marshall amp that you could buy. You know, you could buy one for like $40 or something stupid, you know? But some guy now is making these absolutely incredible heads. And I love them.
Do you know what tubes are in there, or what kind of, if it's...
I don't even know the name of the model, to tell you the truth. It doesn't even say on here.
Do you run both of these amps at the same time?
Yes.
So they're both on. Is it more of like, blend the sounds to get it?
Yes. Yeah, I try to run them about even volume and run them both at the same time. But this one is a 30 watt and I have absolutely no idea what it's called or what kind of tubes are in it.
So how did you find out about it then? If it's...
Is this called, you might be called a P45 or that just might be
Yeah, I believe that. I think we reviewed one of those a couple years ago. But how did you get familiar with such an unknown company?
I wouldn't say Park is unknown. I just went to that music store and tried it out.
Oh.
You know? Yeah, I just went in there and tried out about 15 different amps and ended up with this. I also have a original 70s Park as well, which sounds absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. Probably just don't want to take that on the road for...
Oh, no, it's right back here for backup.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
But and I think my 70s one, though, is 80 watts? I feel like this... Or no, it's actually 75 watts, which is a weird wattage for an amp.
Yeah.
It sounds phenomenal, though. So I'm pretty happy with these Parks.
Cool.
But fair warning, a lot of Parks are basically the Epiphone of Marshall. So there's that.
And how are you running the attenuator? Is that for both amps or the...
Yeah, it's really just for our sound guy.
Okay.
I would like to turn it all the way up and just do that, but sometimes our sound guy can't handle that. So, yeah, I have to use the attenuator for the Park because the volume has to be all the way up to get the right tone out of it.
Mm-hmm. And the Orange, how have you landed with the OR100? I know, like I said, I've seen you with Tiny Terrors. I've seen you with all the different ranges of the Orange family.
Orange has been super cool to us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they gave me a couple heads, and I really like this one. I really like the Rockerverb 3, I think it is. So yeah, and these cabinets are 70s Orange cabinets.
Oh wow!
And one of them, I think this one has the original Eminence speakers in them, and this one has some 60s Celestians. And this is really, I've never in my life actually owned a vintage cabinet. So this is my first time really exploring vintage cabinets. I've never really, I've always just used like regular Marshall, whatever, mm-hmm. just basic cabinets. Recently I got these and I love them, absolutely love them.
Do you feel that there's a difference whether it's the wood that's kind of like getting moved by all the years of...
I think it is the wood.
You know what I mean? Like the way that the vibrations from the speakers of over years and gigs of that kind of breaks it up, kind of like with an old guitar.
Yeah, I do truly believe that the wood has a lot to do with it for sure.
It's probably a lot more porous at this point because it has taken on so much beating from the speakers mm-hmm. over years. And we'll talk about the pedal board in a second, but I did take a quick peek at it. I don't see a drive or a fuzz pedal, so you're probably getting most of your distortion from the amps, right?
Yes, it all comes from the amps.
And then when you're dialing that back for a quieter part, are you on the volume knob of your guitar?
Yes.
Okay. So when you're open on 10 on the guitars, that's where it's screaming, that's the amps are dimed and everything's barking at you pretty mm-hmm. loud. That's where you get your distortion.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you prefer that over using gain pedals or like a tube screamer to push it or anything like that?
You know, every time I've tried to use any kind of distortion or gain or any kind of overdrive, it never really worked out. It just sounded fake to me.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded just like a fake tone that someone would get in their bedroom. You know, it's like, it's cool, you know, in my bedroom.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm playing with a fuzz pedal or something. But once I'm on stage, it just really doesn't work. It just sounds ridiculous. Having said that, on albums, there have been, you know, a lot of tracks on the albums where I have done overdubs with, you know, like a Big Muff or mm-hmm. something. When I try to play them live, it doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your pedal board right now.
Okay.
All right, Tim, we're at your pedal board.
Okay.
You make variations of sounds, but from the looks of it, you don't have much for pedals. It's all about the hands and what you're working with the guitar. So talk to me about what you do have in the pedal board, and I guess start with the tuner, obviously.
Yep, the tuner, nice and simple, easy, Boss tuner, done.
Can't go wrong.
I've had a Micropog for quite a few years now. In the early days of Clutch, I really didn't play a pedal board at all.
No.
I just kind of slowly evolved from just a tuner to a wah pedal.
Yeah, we did a rig rundown with you in 2009 at Kuma's,
mm-hmm.
the burger joint, and in Chicago. And that was at the time that's all you had was a wah.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. So to see you have four pedals is, you know, you're getting crazy.
I know, right?
But yeah, so you got the Pog now.
Yeah, I really like this quite a bit. I play it a lot on albums and live. I don't know if it's the most annoying thing ever to people that are listening to it, but I like it. I think it's fun.
It's very distinct. Now, is that like something that gets used like on the most recent record, X-Ray Visions, or Quick Death X-ray in Texas?
It's on Firebirds.
Okay.
And yes, Quick Death in Texas. And probably something else. I don't remember.
And is it something that you're using all the time, or is it kind of like a thing where you're just like, tonight I'm going to use this for a flavor thing? Or is it like you know those songs, that's where it's at? Or like if you're going to have a jam part with, you know, eventually you guys might have extended part of a song?
Yeah, if there's a jam part, you know, if we're just jamming like a solo section, whatever, there's a 50-50 chance that I'm going to put the Pog on.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm just hiding behind it because I'm nervous or what. I'll just turn on the wah and the Pog and the phaser, and then I could play anything. And no one will know how terrible it is.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I love this thing. I feel like I feel a little funkier when I play it.
Have you ever messed around with the full Pog with the sliders?
Yes, that is why, that's how I got into this. Neil has one of the bigger ones, and I used that on, what was it? Maybe Struck Down off of Strange Cousins from the West.
I think,
yeah, during the Strange Cousins from the West session is when I first used one. I liked it a lot, so I just got a mini version of it. And then I've kind of added some kind of filter too. Sometimes it's a flanger, sometimes it's a phaser. I really like the tone of this. It always clicks through my amps when I turn it on, but I love the tone of it, so.
People know it's coming.
Yeah, I'll just punish the crowd with a really loud click sound five times during the show.
And is there any particular songs that you know that you kicked that on?
You know, I've been actually incorporating it more on our new stuff. We've got about 14 new songs that we've written for the new album. And I feel like this is really the first album where I've actually incorporated phaser.
Hmm.
That I can remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I don't remember if I used one on the last album, to tell you the truth. And then the wah. It could be any wah. It's that wah.
Yeah, it's a CAA wah for people that can't see. And yeah, I've seen you countless times, and that's one of the effects that I've always associated with your playing is the wah. Is there anything you ever look for in a wah, particularly tonally?
I really like the tone of the RMC, Real McCoy Custom Wahs, which I should probably put back up there. But my main thing with wah pedals is my favorite ones are the ones that don't break. I've probably broken like 600 wah pedals.
Wow.
These ones seem to last. So that's my favorite part about these ones.
Are you breaking like the actual like engager or the I guess the cable that controls the throw? Or you just break anything and everything every different time?
I don't even remember. Now that I think about it, it seems like all the wah pedals I used to break were, you know, 10 years ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the wah makers have stepped up their game a little bit and are making better stuff, because lately everything seems to be working pretty well.
Cool.
And this, one of my favorite effects is the reverse effect on here. That's always fun. You can't go wrong with that.
Is that what you're using in Isabella towards that second solo?
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. It's like an instant Jimi Hendrix pedal.
Yeah. And is that really all you're using it for, or do you use like other set of delays on it too?
I use the delays a little bit, like in jam sections, but honestly, I don't really like the delay itself. I just like the reverse effect. I've had other delays up on my pedal board. I don't know, it's just kind of, it's not something I really need a lot of.
Yeah.
But I will throw it in for jams every once in a while.
Yeah, I noticed that neither one of the amps have reverb, and you said that you're not a big delay guy, so that's, those are two pedals that normally people have, so you're pretty dry, loud and dry.
Yep, super dry.
Yeah. And the noise suppressor, is that just on there for certain rooms or certain occasions, or does it actually get used every night?
Well, when I play with P90 pickups, it gets used every night.
Yeah, those are barking, I bet.
Yeah.
And I guess the last question I had for you was about Onto the Breach and any other variations of songs. Earthbound, love that song. When you're working the wah, are you normally working it with your foot, or do you sometimes park it and kind of use like the cocked wah, Mick Ronson type thing?
I usually use my foot.
Okay. And then even then, some songs too where you almost get like a Univibes vibe, like a feel out of it too. Is that again just the wah? You're not doing anything else to?
Yeah, that's just for moving my foot really fast.
Yeah. Do you ever have any ankle problems with working the wah like that? Over the years that you guys have been touring and playing?
You know, I was feeling like I was getting ankle problems for a while, but I think it healed. So there's that.
I
think my ankle problems, though, were from breaking my ankle a couple times. Oddly, I'm not really feeling anything too bad right now.
Well, good.
But there have been times where it has been a little sore.
Well, Tim, I appreciate you talking gear with us. Appreciate it, man. All right, we're on the other side of the stage. We're here with Dan. Dan, how you doing?
Very good.
Thank you for talking to us about gear,
glad
man.
To be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Before you guys' sound checks, we'll make this quick.
Okay.
Reckenbacher, I associate you, I remember the first time I saw you guys, with Lachlan, or just generally P basses in general.
Yep.
Talk to me how you got to the Reckenbacher.
It's been a long road, actually. I started off with a P bass, like back in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. First album we did, that was a P bass. Second album, I moved on to a jazz bass, and I had that jazz bass up until the late 90s, and then found an EB3 that I really liked.
Yeah, the Gibson.
Yeah. Did the third record with that one. I've never, up until recently, I've never recorded an album back to back with the same bass. Yeah.
Why is that? Just chasing something?
Just being dumb.
You're keeping bass companies in production, just by your gear lust.
Yeah, so let's see, I had the EB3, moved on to a Gibson Les Paul bass.
All right.
Found a really sweet Rickenbacker that, for whatever reason, 5 years later, I sold. Really wish I hadn't, because it was beautiful.
Regret.
Yeah. And then was playing Lakeland basses. I had a couple of those, P basses, jazz basses. Mm-hmm. Love those. I still love those. But when I went back to the Rickenbacker, I started using the stereo output.
Okay.
And that was mainly with a lot of help from Al, our guitar tech. And it's been probably, let's see, I got this in 2010, so going on 7 years I've had this.
Damn. And do you use the stereo setup just live, or use it how you record too?
Just live so far, yeah.
Okay. What do you like about it that you hear on stage and what it brings to the audience tonally and what?
Well, it just really increases the low end, first mm-hmm. off. And it's you're able to control it a lot more, because the way that the setup that I have is I'll show you the pedal first.
This is
the pedal that Al made that is basically just like the Rickasound pedal.
Okay.
Only he added another out for the tuner that I can mute, and then I can also have the tuner running while the sound is on, and I can tune, because we have a couple of situations where we detune in the song.
Mm-hmm.
So this is his pedal that he made that splits the signal that you plug into the stereo output here. This is the mono output.
Mm-hmm.
You plug into the stereo, plug into this, and that's, and basically what it's doing is it's taking this pickup and separating them as two separate signals.
All right.
So you have the neck and then the bridge.
Okay.
The neck pickup's going to the 15.
Ah.
And then the bridge pickup's going to the 810. And then I have two
And now is that hitting
SVTs.
Each amp separately, like as the bridge pick. Okay.
Yeah. So this is, let's see. This is the neck pickup. No, this is the bridge pickup, and I have a little more gain.
Yeah. So they're EQ'd differently too.
Yeah. So this head's going into the 810. The 15 is going. I mean, the bottom SVT is going into the 15. And then I have a couple of effect pedals that only run through the treble pickup. So the DI, actually, I should have mentioned that. The DI is the pickup, the bass pickup as well.
Okay.
So I have three signals. The DI, the 15, and the 810.
Okay.
So the DI and the 15 are clean, the entire set. And when I click on a pedal, only the 810 is being affected.
Okay, and that's
so
what
because sometimes I like to use a wah pedal sometimes, and when I would use the wah, you know, a lot of the low end would drop out.
Yeah, right out.
But that doesn't happen now because the 15 stays clean and on all the time, no matter what I'm using pedal wise. So basically, it's a lot of heavy low end that's very clean
and constant
for our sound guy, yeah. And then any kind of overdrive or effect is the 810.
Okay. And when are you using the phaser as it sits on your board? What is it, kind of just a feel and flavor thing, or is there specific spots?
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Yeah,
to be
really?
Honest. Yeah. I use it mainly when it's both of these pedals I'll use exclusively during some kind of a solo section. If Tim's taking a lead, this pedal, this is just a line booster. So when I click on this, it just increases the level going to the 810.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is a cool, kind of like a mix between, it's a phase pedal. It kind of it took place of the wah.
Okay.
The wah was not very exciting for me at the moment.
Well, it's a tricky pedal to run through a bass rig a lot of times, because like you said, it kind of just sucks the beef out of your signal.
Yeah. You get a similar effect with this and a lot of cool overtones as well that I like.
And I love how we said off camera, I mentioned that 11's on there, and you said that they detected that. It's because it goes to 11, he said.
Yeah. Well, originally I was using this at the beginning of the tour. This was on constantly because I was trying to get a little more gain out of this speaker. And then one show I just decided to not use it at all. And I said, after the show, I thought, you know, I do like the way it sounds clean. And Al says, well, you don't have to just have it on or off. You can use it, you know, whenever you want to push it to 11.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's genius. 11, yes. I want to push it to 11 sometimes. So then he put 11's face on.
Yeah, from Stranger Things. I love it.
Yeah.
And to go back to your bass real quick, what bass strings are you running?
These are Dunlop strings, just 105, 45s. And
throughout the set, are you messing with the individual pickup volumes at all?
No, everything's
all wide open.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll just use the neck pickup, but that's pretty rare.
Mm-hmm. And are
actually swapped out pickups.
Oh, what have they been outfitted with?
Well, these are Rickenbacker pickups, but they're the humbucker pickups. And the cool thing about the company is they're the exact same shape. You know, so you can just swap them out real easy.
What were you needing that you wanted to upgrade with the humbuckers? Just more beef?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's sometimes not, it's very rare you get a little bit of that hum from the single coils.
Yeah.
But overall, yeah, it definitely has added a lot of beef to it.
Yeah.
Into.
And when you play, are you playing with a pick and rotate and add fingers, or are you always just playing fingers?
Just fingers.
Yeah. You probably enjoy the touch sensitivity that you can have with, the attack can be changed so much with your fingers.
Yeah, it is. It's opened up a lot of dynamics for me. For the first half of the band, I was just strictly a pick player. And then I started using my fingers, and then I kind of forgot how to use a pick after a while, so
Do you think that's because you started playing, you started as a guitar player, and mm-hmm. from what I've read and understood is that you joined the band and then learned how to play bass? Or the transition was like that?
I was still trying to learn how to play guitar too.
Yeah.
So I wasn't. It wasn't like a drastic move to switch to bass because they were both still kind of
infancies.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Lean and Mean is what you got going on. Except you got the split. I love how the different. Between
yeah,
the
it's
pickups.
Insane. I mean, it stage wise, it really kind of allows me to hear myself at all times, and out in the house, Lee just has, you know, unlimited control over how he wants the bass to fit into the mix.
Yeah. Well, Dan, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You.
Talking Gear. It's Chris Keys for Premier Guitar.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.